I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're about to listen to a sample of today's Ground Zero show. If you'd like to hear the podcast in its entirety, sign up at aftermath.media. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Broadcast from coast to coast, all over the place, internet especially. If you want to check us out, groundzero.radio, aftermath.media. Subscribe to aftermath.media. You get us on demand, and you get all kinds of other cool things, too, other spiffs. Just subscribe today by going to aftermath.media. That is aftermath.media. I'm excited to be back, mainly because of all the love I felt when I was at the Oregon Ghost Conference at Seaside over the weekend. It was a lot of fun, met a lot of great people. Exchanged a lot of great ideas and got to meet a lot of interesting people who talked about a lot of interesting things. I did a lecture on subatomic ghosts. That was the name of it. And it was basically about particle physics and how with particle physics, you can pretty much figure out that there are ghosts out there. There are remnants of tachyon, remnants of heat and energy, because that's what we are. We are a carbon life form that is filled with heat and energy and electricity. And, of course, you know, these are the non-romantic Hallmark cards, less Hallmark card way of talking about your soul or your consciousness, right? And so the crowd was very receptive, and it sparked a whole conversation on whether or not we are living in a simulation. And I said to the person that asked the question, I would address the issue on my show, and I would hope to have a definitive answer. But, of course, this topic is yet again a rabbit hole topic, and it's well-timed for a lot of reasons. One, of course, we were talking the other day about the UN's concern about artificial intelligence, but the question is greater than that. The question is outrageous, more outrageous than we can. I mean, it's the idea that artificial intelligence, if given the opportunity, could it create a simulation? Much like the Genesis weapon in Star Trek? Or the Genesis device. It wasn't a weapon. It was a device that if they aimed it at a planet, it could create simulation of life, or it would be able to, wherever there's death, there'd be life. Where there's life, there'd be death. So, you know, it's our lives, sometimes we feel as though we're already in a simulation. And so the simulation, we say, is provided by a higher intelligence than our own. And, of course, higher intelligence means God or whatever you want to attribute to it. But it's just the idea that there's something, like there's the acronym of God, Grand Order of Developers. The Grand Order of Developers have created this game that we're in. We've chose to play in this game. And we're happy. We made a choice. We made a deal. And that's why we're here. And there have been... There have been comments by scientists and, of course, always philosophers about measurements of cosmic ray particles. And if they're correct, we have the evidence then of a universe that is a giant computer simulation. And we have been exploring the laws of our universe for many years now. And it's not uncommon to hear people talk about how amazing it is that certain fundamental values are just right for life to exist. We were talking about the eclipse the other night. We were saying, isn't it amazing how the moon just fits perfectly over the sun? And this is why we get eclipses. It's almost like it was meant to be that way, right? It's another proof that God exists. It's another proof that somebody highly intelligent was able to create the simulation we're living in. The whole world is, the whole universe maybe is some sandbox simulation. We're merely characters in some cosmic game of The Sims. I mean, if that's true, then there should be a point where we start to bump up against the edges of the simulator, like Jim Carrey when he was in The Truman Show. A lot of physicists now think that a particular measurement in some cosmic ray particles might be the first such indication of those edges. The idea that we might be living in an artificial reality constructed by some higher power than ourselves has always been a topic or a philosophical hypothesis for centuries. We go all the way back to Plato's cave, the allegory of the cave, or Putnam's brain in a vat. I remember that was one of my favorite stories of all. Just the idea that maybe there's a scientist walking around squeezing our brains and we're in a vat somewhere in some simulation projected for all eternity. Then, of course, there's The Matrix. And that gives us a dose of reality, too, where we're told, hey, take the red pill. And then you figure out whether or not the universe is real from there. And it becomes, but it is a lot more complicated than that. And as a matter of fact, it was 25 years ago this month that The Matrix arrived in theaters. And it changed the way we see ourselves in the real world. Neo, of course, young man named Neo sitting across from another man who appears to be some mysterious man in black. He's holding in his hand a red capsule and a blue capsule. The man is named Morpheus, and he tells Neo that his reality is a lie and that the only way to know the truth about human existence, the only thing he has to do is choose one of the pills. Lawrence Fishburne, remember, played Morpheus. And he said, you take the blue pill, and the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Keanu Reeves plays Neo. He chooses the red pill. He learns the terrible truth that the advent of artificial intelligence allowed machines to take over the Earth. All human beings are perpetually asleep in vats, exploited by their artificial intelligence masters. They're considered a source of energy. The world they think, or the world that they're experiencing, is actually a virtual reality called The Matrix. Now, the theories expressed in this movie are really, I mean, they were new for the time. I mean, the topic in a movie like this is amazing, because it grew into, from there, an idea about simulation theory or simulation hypothesis. And so the simulation hypothesis proposes that what humans experience as the world is actually a simulated reality, such as a computer simulation in which humans themselves are constructs. And there has been a lot of debate over this topic, ranging from philosophical discourse to practical applications in computing. Another movie that deals with this, I said earlier, was the Truman Show, where you're on a set and you're pretending to be, you know, Truman didn't know that he was an actor in this stage play or this television show. So just the idea of a simulation has always been touched upon. It was touched upon some 25 years ago. And here we are now talking about the possibility of life as a simulation. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. You just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. If you'd like to hear previous shows along with having access to our online library and social media platform, sign up now at aftermath.media. It's only $10 a month, and there's also yearly specials to fit your budget. Again, go to aftermath.media. I'm Clyde Lewis, and thank you for supporting Ground Zero.